back at it again. Birdie's Not BS. Man, Dougie Fresh alongside Bradford Wilson, the one and only, the infamous, the guy that's not afraid to go anywhere. That's why we brought him in here for this week's topic. Brad, what's up, man?
Hey, Doug, I appreciate you. Thank you for bringing me on. I'm excited to do this.
I feel like you helped me go places that I can't go by myself. That's why I needed some backup in here today to answer this week's question. All right, so this week's question, look, I'm going to give it to you straight, no chaser. I got my drink in hand, so it's going to go straight. Here it comes. How does golf evolve past this patriarchy that's been in place since the game's inception? Look, I'm going to let you start. I'm going to come in on the backside of it. But look, golf's got an interesting history from, you know, women exclusionary tactics. You know, PGA lifted the Caucasian-only clause in 1961. Wasn't that long ago, bro. Wasn't that long ago when blacks could play golf on the PGA or be PGA members. So look, I'm going to open up the floor to you right now, Mr. Wilson. How does golf evolve?
It's a great question. many layers to this one. Mm. I think the power structure in golf mimics the power structure everywhere else. Most of who are in power are straight white men. Not saying they're the enemy. Not saying they're, you know, horrible human beings, because that's just not the case. But I believe there are some blind spots. Mm. I believe there's opportunities to make golf specifically more accessible, more inviting, more encouraging for women to join. I feel very passionately about this. We're talking about stripping gender away from tee boxes. I don't even think, you know, I was at a course in Dana Point, California, and they don't have gender on any of their tees. That was the first tee box I'd seen in Southern California that did not have it. It had championship tees. It had blue, black, gold, and forward tees, which at the end of the day, that's all that matters, right? Like, which way, how do I play? Am I, you know, a 10? Am I a 25? Am I a scratch golfer? And then I adjust the tee boxes accordingly. Like, my gender doesn't really matter in that. It's like, how long can I hit the ball? Or how much fun do I want this round to be? Because if I'm out there drinking with my buddies, I might play from the forward tees. Let me see if I can reach this green in one. Like, that's a simple... Oh, simple fix, I think, could just unilaterally change the perception.
But you got them good old boys in there, Brad. Some people ain't going to go for this whole evolution thing. They want to keep things how they are, keep it the status quo. The ladies' tees have been the ladies' tees since golf started. But it's kind of messed up when you see a lady that's kind of like a Brooke Henderson or a Lexi Thomas.
Maria those long Fosse. Hitters.
Hey, Shasta Everhart, they go back there, they bang it, they can hit it just farther than me. Troy Mullins is longer than me. Let's get this out in the open. And I'm not embarrassed or ashamed of it. Troy Mullins is long. She hits it freaking far.
She's longer than most grown men I know, period.
She's just... But see, is this even sexist, the fact that I'm saying that this woman hits the ball farther than the men? Am I being sexist in this moment? I don't know.
I'm not going to say no, because I'm agreeing with you. You know, like, I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe a tinge, but in not a negative way. It's like we're giving her props, you know? In spite of, quote unquote, gender norms, we're giving her props. But
she hits it farther than me, period. It's just what it is.
Right. It is what it is.
It's a fact.
But the good old boys who want to keep the status quo, 60 years ago, the status quo was me and you couldn't be on the PGA Tour. So are we doing that too? or are we evolving as a society, as a species, as a community in this golf space? Because I think if you were to sit down across from any general manager, any pro who abides by those good old boy rules, and they'll break it down like, look, sir, this is what is happening here. And this is how it is making your women guests feel. Or this is what I'm hearing out there. This is what I'm seeing. And this is the negative effects of that. I don't know of anyone. I don't perceive anyone to disagree, to argue with that, to have a problem with that.
It's hard to do.
Especially if it has a positive effect on their bottom line. Because let's be real about it. That's really what these guys care about.
We're interrupting this episode because my friend Cheyenne Woods and I want to tell you about something that's changing the way that we practice putting at home.
That's right. We use the Perfect Practice putting mat, which is trusted by more than 100 tour pros.
Hey, including Masters champion Dustin Johnson. And here's why he loves it.
When I'm at home, I've got my putting mat that I can hit some putts on. When I'm on the road, I've always got one with me. You know, it keeps me consistent. That's why I've had such success this year. You can make the putts inside 10 feet, and you're going to play well.
The Perfect Practice putting mat makes it easy for you to practice at the crib or at the office. Plus, it's kind of dope, too. Like, you can display it proud. Like, have it wherever you want to. But just use it before or after your round, and you'll make more putts.
If you're serious about shooting lower scores and you just want to stay in the house, the Perfect Putting Mat is what you need. It's the one golf item you'll buy this year that will change your game.
Go to perfectpractice.golf and use the code BIRDIESNOTBS to save you some loot. Hey, you're going to save 15% on your order. Who don't want to do that? Head to perfectpractice.golf to start draining more putts. It's about the dollars and cents, B. That's what it's about. That's what I understand how so many, you know, of these, you know, divisive decisions can be made or just attitudes can be taken when the cash flow in the register is the bottom line. But here's the thing.
I'm saying.
This is one thing that I find interesting, not to go off on a tangent, but to go off a touch. I feel like women also do themselves a disservice when they are posting, you know, TNA on their timeline.
Thirst traps.
Thirst trap and TNA, you know, I find that to be extremely interesting because of all the things that need to happen for gender equality within the game of golf. You can't tell me that the LPGA players that play for a third of the purse of the PGA Tour love seeing this girl XYZ with her ass and titties out on Instagram. As hard as they work to be seen as equal, as hard as they want to play for purses that are the same in front of crowds and TV deals that mirror the men's tour, you can't tell me that that's exciting to them.
I don't know. since I'm not on the LPGA tour, I don't know. But
I'm saying, like, that's got to make you kind of feel some type of way. Like, that's a slap in the face. I don't work my, like, to a Christy Kerr. I'm just using her as an example.
Right.
You can't tell me Christy Kerr is not, you know, I'm sure she sees the stuff on her timeline and she's look at this chick over here. I done worked my ass off to be the 11th, you know, ranked women of all time in the game of golf. And this is what I've worked my career for. You can't tell me she's, I'm not saying that that's her attitude. I'm just using her as an example. Don't be mad, Christy. I'm just saying.
We love you, Christy Kerr.
I do love Christy Kerr.
Here's what I think. Like, I don't think there's a problem with posting an image like that. Okay. Where I think the problem lies is in the comment section, in how, when men see this out in public, how they behave, how they approach these women, how they talk to these women. That is really where the responsibility lies, in my opinion. And I'm using me as an example. I can, you know, look on the internet for any image I want. You know, like, it's not hard to find.
It's easy.
The onus is on me, though, to see that and treat this woman with respect in spite of that. So, post whatever you want. Like, I'll hype you up. You know, I like the post. I'll save it. You know, I'll share it. You know, but what I'm not going to do is degrade you, talk down to you, tell you you can't be in the clubhouse, tell you you have to wear XYZ, tell you, you know, that the rules of golf say, like, bye, miss me with that. Like, go off, post your thing, you know, but I'm not gonna disrespect you because of what you posted. That's how I'm approaching it.
I've had some interesting conversations with a couple female friends, golfers of mine here in the last couple months. You know, I do have a couple podcasts now, so, you know.
This is true. I'm just in the presence of greatness over here.
No, I'm kidding. But, you know, I found this to be interesting. And they're talking about the evolution of the golf uniform and the evolution of the brands that are making trendy slash functional women's apparel.
Mm-hmm.
And who knew this was a thing? Like, from a male perspective, like, I didn't know that this was a thing. I feel like I've been lied to, because here I am trying to, like, be fly and didn't even know that women aren't even wearing golf clothes. They're wearing, you know, Lululemon out there, yeah, and making it swaggy as hell. But, like, I do find it interesting that a lot of the efforts that go into making the men's game, you know, cool, fly, now, you know, we haven't seen a lot of those efforts. We're starting to see it now. But in the past, we haven't really seen as much emphasis in the women's game. And look, in what household does the woman not have the power of the purse? So you mean to tell me you're not marketing and advertising and trying to get the people with the purse strings into this game? Are you kidding me?
Right.
Like you said, miss me with that.
Miss me with that. Man, I think when your content, your product is intended to reach a certain audience, I think the strings have to be pulled by the person that looks like that audience. So perfect example, mm-hmm, me and you.
Right.
We're black men. If I am a golf company, if I'm a golf apparel company, and I'm trying to market to Brad and Doug, I'm going to get somebody in my boardroom that looks like Brad and Doug to tell me what this person might want.
I'm glad you said that, too. I'm so glad you went there.
And I feel the same way about women's golf apparel. Like, I'm sure we'll use Lululemon. I'm sure the head of Lululemon is some dude that's like, I should make a woman's division of clothing. Let me hire someone who's going to fill out those tasks and carry that out for me. I want this, 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 and this. Can you do that for me? If so, I will reward you with a high-paying salary career. And of course, like, who's going to turn that down, you know?
Somebody's going to fact check you, and this is going to be in the comments. I hope that you've correctly identified the CEO of Lululemon. Because if it's a woman who's leading the charge...
Oh, yeah, then I got to go. I got to unplug, deactivate my Instagram account.
You say a lot. Look, here's the thing. You said something very important to me, right? It's about equal representation on the levels of leadership, right? In the game of golf, just like every other organization, for our folks out there that do listen to this podcast that are either thinking about taking up the game of golf or are looking for advice on what to do when you do take the game up. Look, the industry has a bunch of ABC organizations, and golf is basically ran and managed by the PGA of America and the USGA here in America and the RNA abroad. You do look at those boards. Guess who you will not see on any of the leadership team? We will not see black and brown men and black and brown women. In fact, go look at the PGA of America. Look at the PGA of America. Look at some of these, companies that manage golf courses. You're not going to see black and brown people represented in a way that's equal to America. Now, look, that's a half-loaded statement because, look, here's the thing. I was talking to a PGA professional at a very high-end club a couple days ago. Asked him the same question. I asked him a question in an interesting way, though, Brad. I said, look, when you're hiring, I know diversity is, you know, a thing for you, right?
Everybody's, the topic
it's,
du jour.
It's sexy. It's sexy right now. Right. Diversity is sexy. But I said, how is the candidate pool for you to select, you know, to have these diverse candidates? And he said, Doug, it's near impossible for me to find qualified minorities to come in here and do this work. Now, interesting, think about this, though, as we're talking about this evolution. If there's not people to pick from,
mm-hmm,
what do we actually expect?
That's a great question. This is a perfect question to answer with a question. I would ask that pro, why? Why are there no qualified candidate? Because there nobody applied. Well, why didn't they apply? Well, probably because they didn't have jobs in that career. Why? Because they did.
You're gonna hit them with the 3-year-old shit.
Yeah, like what? We can just keep going deeper. Just why?
Why the hell out of them? Just why?
Yeah.
Why and why?
And before you know it, he's in a corner. You know,
yeah,
like,
but when you fish from where you've been fishing from, guess what? Odds are there's not gonna be that many more fish in that spot.
There's that
fact.
There's that too, but.
Don't overfish your waters and see what's cracking.
Exactly. Don't overfish the waters, PGA of America, USGA. But it's like the opportunities need to be there first, and then we need to know about them.
Right.
We need the programs from the grassroots level. Like, that's how it starts. I'd ask you, how'd you get your job, sir?
My daddy was the pro here when I was a kid. So naturally,
I bet he was. I bet he was. Okay, so that's not the case over here in Huntsville, Alabama, where the population is 113 and there's three
you
black
fact
kids.
Check you on that too. You about to get fact checked in this episode?
Don't come for me, hard. Alabama.
No, but that's a great point because there are some passed down roles. You know, your dad was the pro, so you worked at the club for, you know, as a cart boy and then as an assistant, and then he goes on to retire, and then the son steps in, and it goes right to the question that we started at the top of the show. It's patriarchy, like it's passed on. But you know, it's funny when the pro told me about, you know, he's having a tough time finding diversity, and I did stop and think for a second, like, where are you promoting your jobs? Where are you speaking with these people that you are hiring? How are you getting your candidates? But, you know, I also kind of felt sad too, though, like, at this point in life, at this point in the evolution of us as a species, this is still a hurdle.
Yeah.
Finding black and brown men and women that are qualified to be in an incubation, right?
Right.
He's not talking about, he's not trying to hire people to run the club.
Right.
He's trying to
hire
people to like work
just
jobs
be around.
That are
just
open.
Work at the range.
Like, go work the range. Like, I've worked the range at Champions Gate in Orlando, right? Stacking the cubes up, or not, the triangles up, you know? But it's just, it's one of those things that, and I think we as a people, and you know, in a previous episode, you know, we'll discuss some of this community piece to the game of golf. But I think that's when you have to have a consultancy, like where white people can come and feel safe and talk to black folk about, okay, look, we need these jobs and roles filled. Can you help us find
a round table?
People?
Yes.
Like, you know what I'm saying? We
minds.
Need this. That's exactly where they feel safe. You got to make them feel safe.
Right.
And people can come
ain't
in.
Nothing
and
to worry
we
about
can,
with me. No, I never did anything to them.
Let me tell you something. After you put that video out where you like had that demonic look in your eye talking about Ricky Fowler, like you lost a lot of white America. Like, that's just a fact. You, this guy's talking about Richard Fowler.
Oh no, they didn't like that. Oh, I wish I'd show you some of my DMs. Why you come for Ricky like that? Ricky won the Players Championship in 2017. Yeah, well, you're right. He did. But it's 2021 now, and he's still the third highest paid player on the PGA Tour. Why is that?
Hey, but in Ricky's defense, he moves the needle, man. He's making, I don't know if he moves the needle, but he's getting paid. This boy got a special exemption to the PGA Championship in top 10. I'm impressed.
If you got it like that. That's another thing. Like, if I'm the head pro at a golf club, why wouldn't I look out for somebody I know or somebody in my family? What, 'cause I would do it. You kidding me?
Right. No question.
No question. But that's how things start.
But that's how it's been. That's how it's always been for them.
Exactly.
How many of these high-end clubs got black HP? Doesn't happen.
As they say in South Jersey, ugats. Nothing, none, zero, ugats.
Zilch. So before we wrap here, I want to know, what can courses do to make, you know, women feel more welcome and just, you know, people that don't come from the same block feel more, like, is it like, you know, things that are going on after the round, before the round, ancillary events? What are things that courses can do?
I love this question because I very recently, like, I run my mouth on the internet. Y'all know that. That's why I'm here. But I've been tapped in with groups like For the Ladies, like Gruder Golf, like Draw and Fade. These groups, they have these events. Well, they'll get invited by a course, host an event. Mm-hmm. It can be ladies only. It can be open to all genders. But y'all, you have carte blanche, okay? You have my course for the day. Do what you need to do, you know, host the event, bring all the ladies out. What do they want? Do they want drinks? Do they want food? Do they want music? Do they want, and let the ladies run it. And make it, I want to say, I was going to say quarterly.
Sounds so
like,
simple. Sounds so simple.
Yeah, like, how hard is it to host an event for a demographic that you are trying to grow? Like,
seems like it makes sense.
Seems like it makes sense to me. And let them run it and go off. And you know what? After this event, if you join as a member today, you get 25% off your initiation fee. Boom. You're welcome, USGA. You know, like...
I do. I just think golf need... And I said this in a conversation with Seth Waugh. One, I'm sick of waiting for all this stuff. You know, there's been diversity conversations. Likewise. And again, I'm using diversity in sense of gender equity and inclusion, you know, race, socioeconomic status, people with disabilities. We've been having these conversations about diversity since the late 90s. Mm-hmm. The late 90s. And these organizations still are as lily white now as they were then. So my thing is, and I just don't understand how almost 30 years can go by and nothing can be done, but the same conversations are just happening over and over with different buzzwords.
Kind of seems like they don't want it, doesn't it? You know, the definition of insanity is trying the same thing.
I couldn't agree with you more, bro. But look, we got more questions to get to because we got to get to this part of the show where people slide into our DMs. Look, Bradford Wilson and I, we're going to continue this conversation on our social channels, so feel free to tune in. But we got to get to them DMs, man. We got a question coming in right now. All right, Bradford, they slide into DMs this week. We got my man David M, DAMIL23 on IG. He slid in here. It's right here. You can see it. He says, hey, should someone who just started golfing and is still trying to figure out their swing, should they get fit for clubs? Or should they wait until they have a better grasp of the sport to get fit? We'll let you take that because as a fitter, you already know I got something to say.
Yeah, I'm interested in your answer, but I played for the first 5 years of me being a golfer with some hand-me-down clubs from a pastor at my church. So, and I was still shooting in the one teens. So,
isn't that a blessing? Mm.
I was I was fortunate. And then my grandmother got me fit for my next set of clubs. So, but getting fit did dramatically shave strokes off my game. So, that's a tough one. Cause if I'm just a beginner, right? Like I have no clue about golf. I don't know the rules. I don't know where to go. Do I wear a polo? Do I tuck it in? Do I wear the belt? If I'm there with it, just go to Goodwill, get a set of clubs, get out on the course. Make sure you like this game first. Make sure, like, you hit bad shots every other shot. Like, this is a very stressful, difficult game. So does your equipment matter at that point? I say no. I say, can you hit the ball straight? Can you hit it at your target? If you can advance the ball with some hand-me-down clubs from Goodwill or from your pastor or from your Nana or from whoever, then bet.
Nana got clubs.
So I say it's not important at the beginner stage. When you learn what you're doing a little bit, then I say that's when you go get fit.
Well, look, as a fitter, someone who's actually had this happen to them on multiple occasions where I've actually had to send people home because they didn't have the talent to be fit, I'll say this. If you don't have the ability to hit the ball in the air somewhat consistently, right? I'm not saying one out of every 10 shots you're getting airborne. I'm saying like when you're hitting like 6 out of 10 shots are actually flying somewhat relatively forward.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if it curves left or curves right. We can adjust that. But it needs to fly somewhere.
Right.
Period. If you can't do that, DA, you can't make the ball fly somewhere consistently. Don't take your ass in there to be fit. They're just going to send you home. And don't come to me because I'm going to send you smooth home. And I might even tell you who to go get a lesson from. Look, get you some lessons. Here's the crazy thing about lessons. Most of these coaches will actually have clubs for you to use. So you can get lessons without actually having a set of clubs of your own.
Right.
Just show up as you are. Whatever you got on, depending on the course and the pro and X, Y, and Z. But there's odds are you can find a PGA professional that you can just go pull up on who got clubs for you, where you can get yourself together to see if you want to play the game at the next level. If you want to invest $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 in clubs, or if you want to get swagged out like Mr. Wilson with a $6,000 set of sticks, then you know, that's up to you. Hey, I'm just saying, like with the matching bag to your grips, and you know what I'm saying, with the head covers custom, etc. The grips got his name on them damn thing. You saw him on the commercial. But look. If you can't get that ball airborne and go get lessons, if you've already had lessons and you're seeing yourself, you know, you can hit a 7-iron 120 yards, 160 yards, whatever it is, you can do it consistently, then go get fit.
Right.
But until then, keep your ass away from the fitting studio and don't spend that money on being fit. But Bradford Wilson, man, always a pleasure, man. Thank you for coming in here. Birdies not BS. This was a tough topic, though, but we got through it. Shout out to all the women holding it down.
We love
you. The game of golf. Absolutely.
Special Brad, shout out to my mom, my grandmother, who put clubs in my hand the first time. You know, wouldn't be here without them. So we love the women. We love you.
But yo, Brad, how do they get a hold of you, man?
I am at Bradford Wilson on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, where I'll be acting a fool, a plum fool.
You know, I would follow you if I had TikTok, I promise. But I'm
I got you. I'm going to break it down for you. I'll let you know how it works.
No, I'm gonna just jump on your TikTok and then you can send it to me and then I can post it like I'm cool.
Sounds good.
I'm not. I'm old, but it's okay. But anyway, hey, we appreciate y'all rocking with us right here. Birdies Not BS, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. You already know the handle. BirdiesNotBS.com. Holla at us. We'll be back. And I appreciate, you know, I got my co-homie Bradford Wilson in here. Follow that dude. Content crazy. Got some projects coming out, man. Be sure to follow along and join in his journey. I know I'm going to be watching you, and I might have a thing or two to say. But anyway, we appreciate you, B. I'm going to holler at you, and we'll holler at y'all next week. Birdies Not BS. Holla.
We out.